Good morning, one and all. Excuse me. And a very good morning to everybody who's watching online. No other notices this morning, except I hope to see everybody outside after the service for tea and coffee. So Nathan this morning is preaching on, am I really lost if I know where I'm going? And I thought sometimes I need to remind myself of just what are the benefits, if you like, the pluses of following Jesus. And I found the following passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, starting at verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, Paul could write a decent letter when he put his mind to it. So we pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and for all that you continue to do us in the future. We praise you for just being God. And we thank you that we are able to come here this morning to be in your presence and to sing your praises and to worship you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. It's a bit of a pain, really, in more ways than one, to keep getting up and down from the piano. So I thought we would do the birthday box. Is there, or are there, hopefully, any young children who have had a birthday in the last week? Excellent. Would you like to come down? So we have one. Are there any more? Can I just say that we were hoping this morning that Michael and Margaret Jonas would be able to be with us. They've been members of this church for 6 God's dog was a pup, I think. And they've just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. So if you're watching Michael and Margaret, very many congratulations and whatever we sing. Morning to you. Sorry, and what's your name? Sorry? Sochin, is that right? Excellent, good. And how old are you? 10. Well, you're tall for 10. Okay, and your birthday was? Yesterday, excellent. So how does it feel to be 10? Yeah, excellent, good. We have gifts galore down here for you to take. Just have a good old rummage, and we will sing happy birthday to you. And for Michael and Margaret, this is also for you as well. Can we have a F chord or something? Okay, we are now going to sing songs which all have a theme of praising and glorifying God. And we're going to begin with "Lord, I Come to You." I think you like it.
If you'd like to stand or sit,
whichever you prefer.
Come to You, may my heart be changed.
now sing two songs that actually are all about God's majesty. And no, we're not doing that one. This song is called Majesty.
Cover by your grace.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything. If there are any in the congregation who wish to join in corporate prayer, please do so now.
Ah!
before Nathan comes to lead us in communion, I'm going to sing a song that Michael, she requested to be sung if he was here today. Got to put me cheat button on. My Saviour, my God, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed and what God has planned. It's a really nice song.
Please join me as we prepare to serve the Lord's communion. Every song, every hymn so far in our service this morning has been so appropriate, so fitting, as we point to the cross, as we point to Jesus, as we reflect and we think about the cost of our salvation that has only been made possible through the body and through the blood of Jesus. So this meal is both collective and also personal. It's collective because the gift has been poured out for the whole world, not just for some or the elite few. But the gift of salvation has been made possible for everyone. But it's also personal, because each individual has to respond to the good news of Jesus. Each individual has to come to a knowledge of Jesus for themselves. It's not enough just to hear about it and be inspired on the testimony of someone else. But each individual has their own unique story of how Jesus has impacted their lives. So as we partake together this morning, I want to encourage you just to reflect on that. The gift of salvation is both collective and it's also personal. And prayerfully, may you just consider your own personal journey and story of how Jesus has impacted your life. Amen. We invite one of our deacons to come. Lead us in a prayer. Thanks for the bread and the wine.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that although you care for us as a church, as a fellowship, you also care for us as individuals. You love us so much that, Father, you sent your Son, and Jesus himself was willing to come all the way to Calvary that we might have our sins forgiven and have that personal relationship. Father, we give you thanks this morning, because we know that without that, without the personal relationship, we wouldn't be here this morning. But it's all because of what you have done for us. And this morning we just come and give ourselves again. And we realise, Lord, that one day we won't be celebrating this, because you will come again. Jesus will return. But Father, up until that time, we do ask that you will help us as we partake of this meal to be truly grateful that you care for us, you love us as individuals enough to send Jesus to die for us. Father, as we take these emblems now, we're also reminded in Scripture that we should examine ourselves. And Father, as we do that this morning, if we have any unconfessed sin in our lives, we do pray that we might confess that to you now, and that we might be worthy partakers of this meal because of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. So hear our prayer, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. As I mentioned just prior, this meal is freely available to all. It's been poured out to all who would want to receive the gift of salvation for themselves. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he encouraged the church to partake of this meal knowingly and with reverence. So with that being said, if you are not at that place where you have embraced faith in the Lord Jesus for yourself, if you have not yet come to a full knowledge of Jesus for yourself, then I would encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into that full knowledge of Jesus for yourself. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, he records these words: "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you. That the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, 'Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken, given for you. This do ye in remembrance of me.'" Amen. Church, as you are now served of what represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Thank you. If you have not yet been served and you would like to partake, please do raise your hand and one of the deacons will come and serve you now. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be sealed in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from the cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. As you are now served, church, with what represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for us at the cross of Calvary for our sins, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity that is through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Every testimony, every story, every journey is unique to each individual. But the one thing that we all share in common is that all of us were once dead in our sins, and transgressions. But through the blood of Jesus, all of us have received forgiveness, and we are now at peace with God through Jesus. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you again for your gift of love that has been freely poured out to the whole world. And we thank you that many around this church today can testify that we have made a personal response to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for many others in this community, in this town, surrounding regions, this whole nation, and the entire world, that your gospel will continue to impact the lives of many around this world. That, Lord, men and women and boys and girls will respond positively to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that your gospel is power, Lord, to anyone who would believe it. And we thank you that your gospel is continuing to save even today. So we thank you once again for the cross, and we thank you for our salvation that is sealed through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ian.
And before Nathan comes to share the word with us, we'll just sing the song, All of My Heart.
Jesus. forever my Messiah. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Ian and the team, for leading us thus far in our worship today. And good morning again to you all. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here this morning. And it's good to be in the presence of God, to worship him and to give him praise. And I want to jump right into the message today. I don't want to belabor the introduction long. I want to call your attention to Romans chapter 3. And we are continuing our series of doctrines of the Bible. And we've entitled this series, Have You Packed the Essentials? The essentials of the Bible that all believers should have a good knowledge of. And so far we have covered the doctrine of the Trinity in our first week, monotheism, the belief in one God. And then last week, for those of you who were here, what did we cover? The doctrine of? What was the doctrine last week? The inerrancy of Scripture. And inerrancy just simply means that the Word of God is without error. Without error. So that's what we covered last week. This week, we're looking at another doctrine of the Bible. And I'll speak more about it in just a moment. But Romans chapter 3, from verse number 9. And it reads like this. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already been made the charge. We have made the charge that the Jews and the Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous. Not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. Strong words from Paul. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm going to pause there. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Today we are looking at the doctrine of what is called the doctrine of human depravity, or sometimes known as total depravity. And the question that I'm asking today is, am I really lost if I know where I am going in life? Many will ask the question today, why the Christian faith? Why believe in Jesus? Why believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life when I have a good handle on this thing called life? I have a good life. I know where I'm going. I've achieved much in my life. I'm happy. I'm content with where I am. What do you mean I'm lost without the Lord Jesus? Church, on the 16th of October, just 4 days ago, the music and pop world and followers of the popular boy band group One Direction, a group that was assembled together on a talent show by the name of The X Factor. How many of you remember The X Factor? Yeah. And on Wednesday this past week, it was confirmed that one of the band members of that popular group, Liam Payne, a talented and gifted individual, at just the tender age of 31, his life had come to an end. The news reports suggest that Liam, after falling from a third floor balcony of his hotel room, had now come to his earthly demise. And ever since Wednesday, there has been much to say from news outlets and the media and on social media about the cause and the lead up to his untimely death. And the investigations are still ongoing, and I certainly won't add fuel to the fire or try to debate anything here. But as I was reflecting on the news, church, I could not help but look at the bigger picture concerning this young man's death. This talented individual, gifted, and not just him, but many of the musical stars of yesterday's generations and even today, performers, entertainers, athletes, the rich and the famous, if you will, those who are often espoused on the front page of our news. They have millions of followers around the world. They have financial security. They have fans all around the world singing their praises. They have brand deals. They have lush apartments and houses. They drive the best cars. Yet for many within this category, there is that harsh reality, church, that within the star that shines so bright to the world, there is an inward darkness. There is an inward battle that continues to wreak havoc in the lives of the star. So the star, church, continues to shine bright to the world, and the followers follow their every move, and even some wish to envy their success and put them on a pedestal, and even go as far as to worship the very ground that they walk on. Because all the world can see, friends, is the outward appearance of the star. The designer clothes, the amazing hairstyles, the Instagram pictures, church, that have been digitally enhanced to sheer perfection. But what the world fails to see is the star, the celebrity, may appear on the outside to shine bright like a diamond, but inside, church, there is an internal brokenness. There's an emptiness. There's a void. That there's a gaping hole within. And it's a hole, church, and a void that fame and fortune cannot fill. It's a void that money and social media influence is unable to appease. Because it's an emptiness, church, that only God can fill. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, he put it this way: comparison is the thief of joy. And many around the world today would wish and want nothing more to live the life of the Liam Paynes around the world, without knowing the inward battle and the challenges that they are going through. And church, the doctrine of human depravity, or total depravity, it reminds the world that in the grand scheme of things, there really are no stars. Regardless of how many followers one may have, the doctrine of human depravity teaches us that all of us, doesn't matter how much money your parents may have or how great your upbringing may be, regardless of the country you were born in, your background, your social status, all of us who are born into this world, we have been born at the very same footing. In the music, High School Musical, we're told by that song, that famous catchy song, we're all in this together. But when it comes to Sin Church, we are all in this together. As Isaiah puts it, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like a wind, our sins sweep us away. Not some, but all of us. In Psalm 51, verse 5, David puts it this way: surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And then Paul goes on to say in the book of Romans, for some have sinned. No. For all. Can we say all?
All.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have you ever noticed, church, how even a toddler is naturally able to be mischievous? That beautiful, innocent baby. Parents don't have to teach that new baby and toddler how to misbehave, because naturally, innately, they know how to be mischievous. You don't have to teach them how to be mischievous. You ever seen that little toddler come into the room with a little toy in its hand and just throws it and does the little runaway? Who taught them that? It's natural. It comes from our nature that is sinful. It's just like whenever, for those of you who like to have a shower instead of a bath, you'll know that as we take a shower, of course, we want to do that for hygiene purposes. But not only are we, is it important for us to maintain good hygiene for our bodies, but if you notice the shower and don't ensure that the shower is maintained and kept clean, and soon and very soon you'll notice that there is a buildup of grime and dirt. That is a stark reminder that we are filthy. So the Bible is clear concerning this inherited nature of sin, that not just some are born sinful, not just the poor, if you will, and the rich and the elite are born with a silver spoon in their mouths, as some like to say. But in the eyes of God, everyone is born with the very same problem. Because of Adam and Eve, we are all born sinners. But the question that many may ask concerning this doctrine, particularly many unbelievers and atheists, they may ask the question, well, Nathan, what about the good people? Here's the complication with this doctrine. What about the good people? When I was younger, both my parents, when I was in primary school, worked jobs that, you know, went on till quite late. And as a result of that, they were unable to pick me up from primary school. So my next door neighbor was my childminder for much of my formative years. She would pick me up from school, Wendy. She was a lovely lady. She had two daughters, Rebecca and Sam, and I almost became a part of their family. That's how close we were. And from all the way up to secondary school, I would go there after primary school. She would give me food, and I would wait there and have fun and enjoy and do my homework, etc. And then my parents would come and pick me up after they finished work from my next door neighbor. Wendy was a lovely lady, just a kind-hearted woman. But Wendy never knew Jesus. Wendy was not really wanting to open her heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. she refused any invitation from my parents to come to church and to come and to enjoy a service. But Wendy was a lovely, lovely person, a kind-hearted person. And perhaps for many of us around this church today, you know people just like Wendy. They are sincere. They are kind. They are warm. They are compassionate. They display many of the characteristics even of Jesus. But yet still, they reject the gospel. They do not believe in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet still, the dilemma and the question is, what about these supposing good people? They're not troubling anyone. They're not breaking the law. They are law-abiding citizens. They do many good works and deeds in our community. They look out for the needy. They work and serve in homeless shelters. They feed the poor. They give to charity. What about these supposedly good people? But the reality is, it's not about our works when it comes to salvation. We are not saved based upon the works that we do, but we are saved based upon what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. So the harsh reality, yes, even for those that we suppose to be good people, and I'm not arguing with that fact. I believe my childminder was a good person. But the question is not, are you a good person or do you do good works? But the question is, do you have faith in the one who has completed the finished work of the cross? Do you know Jesus for yourself? That's what really matters. I remember some years ago, there was news in Jamaica of a man by the name of Christopher Coke from Tivoli Gardens. He was a notorious individual in his community that was known for selling drugs all around the world. And as a result of his dealings, the United States of America wanted to extradite him from Jamaica to the States to serve jail time. And as a result, his own people in his community, they were so happy with him, because not only was he a drug dealer, but he also looked after his community. He had a kind heart. Although he had a sketchy past, he looked out for the children in the community. He looked out for those in his community. So the people within his community, they held him as someone who was a good standing member of the community. And there was a massive big war for days, civil war, because the people within the community were trying to defend him because they didn't want him to be extradited to the United States. And so it is even in our world today. Many may look at the works of an individual. Many may look at the sacrifices that people make. Many may even envy and say, oh, I wish I could be like that person. Aren't they such a wonderful person? Isn't she just a kind person? Isn't he lovely? Isn't he a great bloke? We say all these things, and that's great. But the question is, do you know Jesus for yourself? Has your sins been forgiven? And this doctrine, church, it reminds us that all of us, regardless of our deeds and our works, we all have to come to the same table of a knowledge of Jesus Christ for ourselves. Bible lets us know they've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys, according to the Message version. No one is right. No one is living right. So Paul made it clear, church, in this first point, that whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, it does not matter your race, it does not matter your background, it doesn't matter if you're under the law of Moses or under the law of the new covenant, each and every one of us are born sinners. Everyone is tainted by sin. And therefore, no one can claim of themselves to be good without the help of God. So my challenge on this point is this. It is possible. It is possible to live a good and honorable life without Jesus, but it's not possible to receive salvation without him. Yes, people can lead and live good lives without Jesus and be honorable and be good members of the community. But that reputation alone is not good enough for us to embrace eternal life in heaven. It's not about how good he or she is, but it's about, do you know Jesus for yourself? Amen?
Amen.
But here's my final point. The resolution and the celebration. And this is good news, because this doctrine is quite heavy. It's not really a nice thought to know that no one is good, that we're all filthy rags, that we're all unclean. Not really nice thing to talk about, right? But here's the good news that I want to leave you with. A better route is available. Can we say that together? A better route
is available.
On Friday, as we were celebrating the wedding of Kieran and Savannah, and I was making my way to the reception, and as I was making my way down Detlin Hill, Google Maps flashed up on the screen and it said, a faster route is available. Would you like to accept? And when I accepted it, it saved me 5 minutes off the journey. I was so happy. Faster route is available. But when it comes to our world and it comes to the gospel, the good news of the scriptures is that it teaches us that a better route for life is available for all. So although we are all born in sin and we are dead in our transgressions, the good news is Jesus has provided a better route for the world. In other words, we don't have to stay in our sin. We don't have to stay and remain dead in our transgressions. Why? Because a better route for life is available. And through Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross, that means for all who believe in him, we are justified freely by his grace. Justified literally means, church, that we are forgiven by the cross just as if we had never sinned. You're not excited like me about that. That means, church, regardless of what you have done in your life, it does not matter what you have done, where you have gone, who you have been with. When you come to Jesus with sincerity in your hearts, he not only saves you, but he justifies you before God. And now when he looks at you, he no longer views you through the sins that we have committed. The slate has been wiped clean. It would be almost like if you were to go shopping and you picked up all the groceries that you needed for your household, and you was expecting to spend, say, at least £150. Is that a good estimate for a family these days? No? Probably not with the cost of living these days. And as you went to the till to check out, to pay for your shopping, after you witnessed them all scan every single item, the cashier looks at you and says, "There's nothing to pay." Wouldn't that be lovely, eh? Come on, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, we need some more of that, don't we? But when God looks at us, when we come through his Son, the life gate, we are no longer condemned because of our sins. So when the enemy wants to point the finger at us and say, "Ha ha, look what you done. Look what you done 5 years ago. Look what you done yesterday. Look what you did recently. Look what you thought in your mind. Look at the things that you've done." And even people would want to remind you of the person that you used to be. When they do that, say, "That's okay, but God looks at me and he sees me differently." Hallelujah. Because he looks at me through the lenses of his Son. And that means that I am justified because of grace, just as if I had never sinned. A better route is available. So the world in closing, that is, apart from Christ, regardless of one's reputation, even if it is a good one, the harsh reality, church, that the doctrine of total depravity teaches us that if we remain in sin, then we will be condemned for eternity. It is a harsh reality that there will be eternal separation for those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. It often really bothers me to know that within my family, there are members of my own family that unless they come to faith in Jesus before they die, they're going onto eternal separation. Some of them who were exposed at a young age to the teachings of Scripture, but for one reason or another, they did not hearken, they did not open their hearts to that better route. And the reality is for our community, for those within our families, for those in our friendship circles, that they will not be at peace with God because of good reputation, because of good works that they may do. But it's only Jesus that can save us and give us this eternal life that he has promised through his word. It's a sobering thought. And it's one that even many today don't even like to talk about. But I would be a liar as a preacher if I would just tell you the good stuff and not tell you the whole story. So my prayer for our families, for our friends, for those you know who are not yet walking with Jesus, that they would come to realize the better route. That through Jesus Christ, one can come to eternal life with the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the doctrine of total depravity, it is a sobering one, because it's a harsh reality that all of us are born in sin and shapen in our iniquities. Lord, we know that your scripture teaches us that it's not your will. That means it's not your plan for any to perish. You haven't come just to save the elite or your favorites. Everyone is a favorite in your eyes. But everyone has to respond personally to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I pray today, Lord, for those within our families, those that we know, our friends. Oh, Lord, those that we know, Father, even those that like Wendy, my childminder, that they're such good people. They're loving, they're kind, but they're not walking with Jesus. Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would just draw them to a loving relationship with God. That, Father, they would not, Lord, put a barrier between you and their hearts. That, Father, that they would be receptive to hear the gospel, receptive to hear the good news of Jesus, and that you would open their spiritual eyes so that they can see that there is a better route available for the whole world. So, Father, I pray, and even today, if there may be anyone under the sound of my voice who has not yet come to know that better route, that, Father, through your Holy Spirit now, that you would just draw them and deepen their understanding of Jesus, your love, and your grace. Lord, we thank you once again that through your act of saving us on the cross, that now we have been justified by grace, just as if we had never sinned. And for that we give you thanks, and for that we give you praise, and for that we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The worship team are coming back. And if there's anyone here today that maybe you have some questions about life, and maybe you're wondering in your own heart and you're pondering that question, I want to know the better route. And I would love today to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend at the top there, he's wearing a lovely jumper. Stand up, brother. Stand up. He's wearing a... I noticed your jumper earlier. I love it. You see that? Ye must be born again. That's old King James language, but it simply means you must be born again. You must come to know Jesus. So if you don't know him for yourself, today is a great day to know Jesus for yourself. If you're here and you don't know that you are going to heaven to be with the Lord if you should die, then I would make this day a special day by opening your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you want to know more about Jesus, know more about the church, or maybe you are a believer but you've not yet been baptized, then after the service, please do meet us in the prayer corner. There'll be some prayer partners available there to minister to you and with you. So if you want to know more about Jesus, know more about the church, know more about baptism or anything else, then please meet us in the prayer corner to my right, to your left, on the lower level here in the corner, and we'll love to serve more and to minister to you. Amen? Amen. Worship team are going to lead us in our final song before we close. Oh, do that after, yeah, thank you. Kuda is right here. Yeah. Please stand, church, as we sing our final song.
Hymn of commitment, O Jesus, I have promised.
one day for all those who know Jesus, heaven will receive us. Not because of our good works, not because of our good reputation, but solely through the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Before we pray the benediction, I just have to welcome a new member. Is Grace here? Where's Grace? Grace. Grace Ogunsola? You've been welcome before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She's been welcome before, Kuda. She's been, yeah. This must be a... Have you been welcome into the membership?
Yeah.
I remember praying for... Yes, I remember. Yes. Yes. This must be a duplicate. You can have another pack if you want to. We thank God for Grace. Just a final notice as well, for the men's fellowship on Saturday upcoming. The men are meeting here at 12 noon. Why do I keep saying 12 noon?
Sure.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, the men are meeting here on Saturday. It's going to be a great time. We're talking about language as men. Our language. Amen. We have to work on our language, men, don't we? Right? So we're going to be talking about language on Saturday. So all men, it's open to all men of the church. Please do come out on Saturday at 1 p.m. We're looking forward to it. I'm going to be taking part in leading some of the sessions. It's going to be a great time. So meet us here at 1 p.m., all of the men. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. We thank you for, Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been clearly evident throughout this entire service, through every song and every hymn, Lord, through the serving of communion, and also through the message, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue to point to the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that for the whole world, this community that we live in, Lord, a better route is available for all who would come to a saving knowledge and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that, Lord, over this community. We pray that many more would receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray for our families as well. And our friends, Lord, that they too, Lord, would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, Father, now as we prepare to leave this place, but never depart from your presence until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. Amen.